Praise the Lord, friends. What a wonderful time of worship. It's not about the song, it's about our hearts. And we thank God that even though you're not heard by others, maybe you're sitting alone in the living room or with a spouse or friend, that God hears you. Praise and worship is for God. And we thank God for that. I want to do one more sermon in a series called Praying. And I was reading as an introduction about a lady who lived way out in the country in Wales. She went through to a great deal of trouble and expense to have electricity brought to her home. However, after a couple of months, the electric company noticed she didn't seem to use very much electricity at all. A meter reader came out to inspect if something was wrong. He knocked on the door and the lady came to the door and he said, "We just checked your meter and it doesn't seem that you're using much electricity. Is there a problem?" And she said, "Oh no, we're quite satisfied. We turn on the lights every night to see how to light our lamps, and then we switch them off again." Now, this lady believed in electricity. She believed the promises made by the electric company when they told her about it. She went to a great deal of trouble to get electricity. But she didn't understand the potential of the electricity in her home. The result was she used it sparingly. There are a lot of us, friends, who use prayer in this very same way. We believe in prayer. We believe the promises God has given us about prayer. We've even heard stories of answered prayer. But we still use prayer sparingly. We struggle with prayer. We have a hard time staying awake. We have a hard time staying focused. Or we throw out a meek, mild, timid prayer as a large, last ditch, hoping something will turn our way. Friends, I'm getting some feedback here. Just hold on. Something's not echoing. Friends, prayer doesn't just change our circumstances. More importantly, prayer changes us. It doesn't just alter external realities. Just hold on, please. I am getting some feedback here. It's echoing here. More importantly, prayer changes us. I just need to, yeah, come here. Can you check around here for what's echoing, what's on? I'm sorry about that distraction, friends. But sometimes, I'm gonna try that again, friends. Sorry for those who are gonna listen to this recording afterwards. Prayer doesn't just change circumstances. More importantly, prayer changes us. It doesn't just alter external realities, it alters internal realities so that we begin to see with spiritual eyes. It gives us peripheral peripheral vision. It corrects our nearsightedness. It enables us to see beyond our circumstances, beyond ourselves, beyond time. It's enough to dream big and pray hard. You also have to pray long. It's not enough to just dream big and pray hard. We have to be prepared to pray long. If we don't, we will experience high degrees of discouragement and disappointment. The bigger the vision, the harder and longer you will have to pray. And if you keep circling, it will come to pass in God's time. Today, our passage of scripture is going to, we are going to see a demonstration of the power of prayer when that comes through with praying long, friends. Daniel in the Bible was a Jew who had been taken into captivity in Babylon when he was a young man. You probably are familiar with him being thrown into the lion's den. But even though he'd been taken captive and thrown into the lion's den because of his faith, Daniel remained faithful to to God and living for God. The result was, friends, that God greatly blessed his life. Daniel rose to a position of leadership in the Babylonian Empire. At this point, he was a little older, and he was now serving a new king. And this time, during this part of his life, God gave him a vision about the future. The vision was one of war, and it troubled Daniel because he didn't understand it. So what did he do? He prayed. He cried out to God. He looked for wisdom and direction from God. And it's through this experience we see through Daniel's life, some steps we can take also to pray long, to pray with persistence, friends. The first step we can take to pray long is to remove distractions. That's the first thing you and I need to do, is remove distractions. In our text, in Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3, we read, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision." And from verse 3, Daniel starts to speak. He says, in verse 2, "At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips. I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over." Friends, Daniel had received a vision from God about the future. We are told that he had trouble so much with this that it troubled him that he cried out. He cried out to God. He moaned for 3 weeks. We see evidence of this in what he ate and drank. Remember, friends, Daniel was the leading official in the kingdom. He had the power of his office at his discretion. That meant that he had the finest foods, the finest drinks available to him. He had all the comforts of life at his disposal that very, very few people would have had. And yet he abstained from it all. Why? So that he wouldn't be distracted in seeking the wisdom of God. One of the major obstacles we have in prayer is distractions. It's so easy to get sidetracked in our prayers because we get distracted by the goings on of life around us. We can have good intentions about prayer, but when it comes to prayer, to praying, we fall short. Why? Because we are not willing to make sacrifices necessary to talk to God. We'd rather be doing things in our own power instead of taking things to God and relying upon His power. And when we do that, we actually put in more faith and trust in ourselves instead of God. We put ourselves in a position of being master, and we relegate God to the position of being our servant. And when there's a problem, we try to handle it ourselves. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking the initiative, friends. But when we take it without the power of God behind us, we are just setting ourselves up for disappointment, for failure, and settling for much less than what God can do. There are two verses I want to read. In Proverbs 19, verse 21, the writer says, "Many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." You see, Satan, friends, is going to do whatever he can to get our attention directed away from God. We have to remember that Satan is a deceiver. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, Paul says, "Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." Satan will distract us with good things to keep us from the best things. He is the leader of darkness in the world, but he covers it up and makes it look so good to us, and we are deceived. And the one area where he'll do this, friends, is in our prayer life. Satan will distract us from calling out to God for his help and leadership in prayer, for God to come through for us. Satan will distract us. What are the distractions that are keeping you from calling out to God in prayer? Could it be that you are putting prayer on hold until the end of the day when you're all worn out and tired? One guy said to me, "You know, I couldn't sleep the other night, so I started to pray and I fell asleep." So that's what prayer is to him. So boring, so tired, he's just worn out, he's finished. Friends, listen, it could be too much television. I love television, let me tell you. But maybe it's too much. Maybe it's too much cell phone use and internet surfing. Maybe it's work that's a distraction. Maybe it's sports and so on that distracts us and takes time away from interacting with God. I look to Daniel, friends, and I see that he was willing to lay aside his distractions, be it the comforts of life, entertainment, fine food, wine, and so on, so that he could place his full attention on seeking God. I learned from that. Let's just get rid of the distractions. I know of a particular person that when we know that she is praying, she will not answer her cell phone because we don't want it to distract our time. Let's all try that, friends. Second step to take we can take to pray long is to understand that support comes with prayer. That support comes with prayer. And we go back to our text this morning and we read from verse 4 to verse 11. "On the 24th day of the first month," Daniel said, "I was standing on the bank of the great river the Tigris. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from a purse upon his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the beam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing upon this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking. And as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. Listen, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. What a fantastic passage, friends. As Daniel prayed for God's direction and insight concerning the vision he had, something unusual happened to him. He was standing on the banks of the Tigris River when he saw a man standing there who obviously wasn't just some ordinary, regular fellow. Look at the description. He had a belt of gold. His body was like topaz. His face like lightning. His eyes like flaming torches. And his voice like the sound of a multitude. What was this all about? It's interesting, friends. But there is another description similar to this one in the Bible. And Ross, we're going to go there. It's found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 to 16. John said, thank you. John said, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing water. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Friends, who is this? It was Jesus Christ. And I believe in the text in Daniel's vision that Daniel is describing, I believe it was Jesus Christ. What was he doing there? I think he came there, friends. He came there to support Daniel in response to the prayer he had been offering up to God. Look at verse 12 quickly, friends. He said, do not be afraid, Daniel. Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and you humble yourself before your God, listen, your words were heard and I have come in response to them. Friends, the Lord responds to Daniel by saying, do not be afraid. There are a lot of different things in our world that are pretty scary. We have the coronavirus pandemic. We have health issues that we are dealing with. We have a poor economy, unemployment. We have strained relationships and so on. And a lot of us, friends, feel alone and abandoned. And sometimes we wonder if God even knows or cares about what's going on. But friends, listen, we are commanded, you and I, not to be afraid. Not to be afraid. Why? Because as we humble ourselves before God, the Lord comes to our side. It's important to notice that Daniel had humbled himself before God. It was then that his prayers were heard. If your prayers don't seem to be getting any higher than the ceiling, it could be something that's stopping it, friends. Perhaps it's a sin that we need to confess to God and to turn away from. In Psalm 66, verse 18, I don't think there's a slide for that one, but this is what David said. If I have sin in my heart, God will not hear me. Sin is like static, and it creates a barrier in communication between you and God. But here is a really neat thing, friends. When the line is open and you talk to God, he not only hears you, but he sends you support. Amen? He sends you support. I think it's important for us to see this because a lot of times we feel as though we're all alone. And our prayer life can actually become an act of desperation as we try to get God's attention. And when we don't feel like anything's happening, it makes it very easy to quit praying. Now, come on. I'm one of them. Perhaps it's you too, that you have quit praying, friends, for something. What can really encourage us is to know that support is on the way when you pray. When you pray, God sends support. And if you pray believing that God sends support, guess what? It makes it much easier to hang in there in your prayer life. Listen, what I read, I kind of love this. In 1957, at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, psychobiologist Kurt P. Richter experimented with drowning rats. He put rats in a dish of water with sides so high that they couldn't climb out, and the water too deep for them to stand. All the rats could do was swim. And after a few minutes, rats would stop swimming and drown. But if Richter, this psychobiologist, Kurt Richter, if he removed the rat from the dish when it stopped swimming, but before it actually drowned, and later subjected it to the same experiment, he found that the rat could swim for more than 24 hours because he was waiting to be rescued. Do you see that? The rats that drowned after a few minutes could actually swim for 24 hours. They simply gave up because they saw no hope. People need hope too, friends. For the same reason that rats do. Hope keeps us going when times are hard. But when we know that help is on the way, when you know that help is on the way, it makes it easy for us, makes it easier for us to hang in there, friends, to hang in there. I want you to know that when you pray, support is on the way. Say amen. Support is coming. So the first step we can take to pray long is to remove distractions. The second step is to understand support comes with prayer. And the final step, friends, we can take to pray long is to trust God will answer your prayers. Trust God will answer your prayers. Otherwise, don't bother. Don't pray if you don't think God can answer. But friends, remove distractions. Understand that support comes with prayer. And trust God will answer your prayers. Let's go to our last passage. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, 13, and 14. We are actually rereading verse 12. Then it continued. Then he continued. Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. Now, friends, listen. I want you to listen carefully to what's happening here. We have to trust God. Trust is a very difficult thing for a lot of people. And sometimes we lose trust and faith in God when we feel like our prayers aren't being answered. Ted Turner, you know him, a media magnate, is a man who does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He turned away from God when his mother died because he said he prayed for her, but she died anyway. And that was the last straw for him. You see, some of you may have some similar experiences and caused you to doubt and even not to believe that there is a God who is there for you. Friends, listen, hang in there, hang in there. Pray long, pray persistently, because God does hear and answer prayer. I look at Daniel and I see that he called out to God for answers. He cried out to God for answers. And what I notice is that the answer was delayed. It didn't come immediately. Do you remember how long Daniel had been crying out and praying before he received an answer? 21 days. Remember, it said that right at the beginning. Daniel said, man, I was praying for 21 days. Listen what's happening now. Daniel's prayer was heard even before the words even passed through his vocal cords. But it wasn't until the 21st day that he experienced a breakthrough because of spiritual oppression. There was a war taking place in the spiritual realm, friends. An evil spirit. What was the evil spirit's name? The evil spirit was known as the prince of the Persian kingdom. Listen, the evil spirit was known as the prince of the Persian kingdom. Resisted the answer coming until the 21st day. Friends, what if Daniel had quit praying on day 5? Or day 10? Or day 20? If he did, let me tell you something, friends. He would have missed out on seeing his prayer answered. But because he trusted God would respond, he pressed on, friends. He persisted, friends. He prayed long, friends. Well, just like the Israelites who circled Jericho seven times. Just like Elijah, who got on his knees, put his head to the ground and prayed for rain and sent his servant seven times to look for rain. If you stop praying before the breakthrough, friends, then you will forfeit the miracle. Let me say that again, because this is like the best statement you will ever hear. If you stop praying before the breakthrough, you will forfeit the miracle. Friends, we all have the tendency to give up on something just after just a few days if we don't get results. I'm a champion too. It's not working, I stop. Listen, this sermon is for me. We have the tendency to give up on something just after a few days if we're not getting results. But Daniel hung in there and continued to seek after God because he believed God was going to answer him. He was persistent in his prayer, and God rewarded him for that. Daniel didn't just pray when he had a bad day. Daniel didn't just pray when he was in the lion's den. He prayed every day. Prayer was a part of his life. Prayer was his life, and his life was a prayer. He approached every situation, every challenge, every opportunity, every person prayerfully. And it was that approach to prayer that led to one of the most unlikely rises to power in the political history. How does a prisoner of war become prime minister of a country that took him captive in the first place? Isn't that a miracle? Isn't that a miracle, friends? How does a prisoner of war become prime minister of a country that took him captive in the first place? Do we need to persist in our prayers because God is hard at hearing? No. Is it because he has to be bothered and pestered before he'll provide an answer? No. Jesus taught us to pray long and hard with persistence, because each time we pray, friends, our prayers carry weight. As Daniel prayed, his prayers carried weight more and more until finally the door of heaven swung open and his prayer was answered. We're not going to go back to the passage, but the last verse we read, where the word came to Daniel, "Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. I have come to answer your prayer." Friends, I desire for us to approach prayer expecting an answer. Amen. I want us to approach prayer expecting an answer. And when he doesn't answer immediately, I desire for us to press on in our prayer, trusting that God will answer. Amen. In conclusion, we can pray long when firstly we remove distractions, when we understand that support comes with prayer, and when we trust God will answer our prayer. Don't forget those three things, friends. Remove distractions. You can't have the TV blaring when you're trying to pray. You've got to remove distractions. You've got to believe as you're praying that support is on its way, and that you've got to understand, friends, and trust that God will answer your prayer. Let's not approach prayer in a ASAP fashion. We want God to answer our prayers as soon as possible. Let's not do that. We need to be willing to pray as long as it takes. I'll say that again. We need to be willing to pray as long as it takes. Pray that it will take long enough and hard enough for God to receive the glory. Amen. Let God receive the glory. Don't look for the path of least resistance. Look for the path of greatest glory. And that requires a high degree of difficulty kind of prayer. Prayers that are impossible and require lots of circling, friends. Very rarely does our first prayer request hit the bullseye of God's good and pleasing and perfect will. Most prayers requests have to be refined. Even the prayer that saved a generation, remember from the beginning, sermon number one, the 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, there was a whole generation that was being threatened with no rain and a drought, and they were going to be destroyed. Even the prayer that saved that generation didn't hit the bullseye the first time. Remember Honey? Well, Honey refined his prayer twice. He prayed. It started to drizzle. He refined his prayer. He prayed and it became torrential rain. He said, whoa, whoa, whoa. He said, hang on. He said, not for such rain have I prayed. He wasn't satisfied with the sprinkle or torrential rainfall. It took three attempts to spell out exactly what he wanted. And remember what he said? He said to God on the third time, the rain, what I pray for is rain of your favor, your blessings, your graciousness. That's what I really want. Do you see that? Honey drew a circle in the sand. And then he drew a circle within a circle within a circle, friends. He refined his prayer. What promises or miracles or dreams are you willing to pray for as long as it takes, friends? What promises or miracles or dreams are you willing to pray long for? After all, there are some dreams that should be so big that they take a lifetime to fulfill. I said this every week. I want to end with it again so that you will remember. There is nothing that God loves more, friends, than answering prayer, keeping promises, performing miracles, and fulfilling dreams. Amen. So go ahead, friends. Come on now. Pray through. Pray big. Pray hard and pray long. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we have to confess, Lord, you know, because we can't even lie about it and pretend. We give up too quickly when we pray and trust in you for an answer. But you have been reminding us all these last four Sundays that you indeed hear and answer prayer. You don't want us to just pray for something. You want us to pray through something. You want us to pray big, hard, long, with persistence and perseverance, Lord. And I pray that you would help each one of us to do just that. Lord, change us, Lord. Change us. Help us. We know that prayer doesn't just change circumstances. Prayer changes us. And this is what we want to be, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.